You have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. We appreciate the privilege to be here again in this place. We have certainly enjoyed the singing this morning. I feel like after that singing, a backslidden Jehovah's Witness could preach. Oh, what singing, what singing, what singing. It is in my heart in these five services to look at a little phrase in the New Testament that appears 38 times. I feel like it's God's megaphone. You know, if God repeats himself, it's a megaphone. Yes. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not. He's hoping you'll hear him. If he says it enough, you know, you'll get him. You'll say, hey, man, I got that. The little phrase is in the midst, in the midst. I'm fascinated about two things about this phrase. One of them is its definition. I'm blown away by the definition. And then I am double blown away by the times that it appears in the life of Christ. That he is in the midst. Here's the little definition. It is a place of authority. It is a preeminent place. One writer says it is the control center. It has the idea that everything is flowing out of here and everything is flowing in here, in this centerpiece in the midst. One said that the little phrase means to preempt. Sometimes there'll be a special program come on TV. Maybe it's a bulletin. Maybe president's going to make a special speech. And they'll say all the other programs have been preempted. If he's in the center, everything else has been preempted. My question is these five services. Is he in the midst of your life? Is he the centerpiece? I want to begin this morning in Luke chapter number 2 at a time where this phrase appears. Don't forget the definition. Control center. Preempt, place of authority, the place where it's all being run from. Luke chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, y'all have heard of the God man? It's the God boy. He's as much God now as he's going to be when he dies. When she held him in his hand, he's as much God then as he ever going to be. He's always been God. He shall always be God. And when you stand before him lost or saved, he'll still be God. The Bible says they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They, supposing him to have been in the company with a day's journey, they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting. He's sitting here with the Pharisees and the scribes. They got the entire Old Testament memorized. What they don't have memorized, they got it in a box on their forehead, in a package on their arm. And he's sitting here where? He's the control center. He's running the whole show. Everything's flowing out of him. Everything's flowing in him. He's saying all the programs have been preempted. He said, I'm here to run the show. I'm wondering this morning, has he ever taken up the center position in your life and everything else in your life has been preempted? He's now the control center. You say, preacher, I don't believe he's in the middle of my life. Well, you make yourself a little note. I'm going to hell when this is over with. He must be the centerpiece. He'll never bear his arm, as y'all been praying about. Unless he's the centerpiece. He is in the midst. I want to take this text this morning and preach on this subject. The teaching authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of our intaking. Whatever I take in, is he in the middle of it? Is he the centerpiece? This is the first and only glimpse of the boyhood of Jesus that we have in the Bible. One of the Puritans said it's like a walled garden. We're given but a simple flowering glimpse. He says, but a fragrance so fills our heart with a longing to enter into this secret enclosure. It is in this setting that there is more, don't miss this, caught than taught. To have him in the middle of your life, often there'll be more just hanging around him. There will be more that is caught than taught. I was thinking about that principle years ago when I pastored there on the University of Georgia campus. We had a doctor from Bob Jones. He was the dean of school education at Bob Jones. He come there to the University of Georgia to work on another doctor's degree. He's an older man. He's in his late 50s. And I asked him one night after church, I said, you ever afraid about what you'll hear over at University of Georgia? He said, Lord, no. He said, I never have been afraid of what somebody might teach me. He says, I've been far along with God to know when they're teaching me something right or wrong. You might take this in, you that sit under lost professors. He says, I'm extremely afraid of what I might catch from them. He said, I'm afraid that I might catch their world philosophy. He said, I'm afraid that I might get to thinking that this temporal world is really important. He listened to me. I wonder if some of you sitting right here this morning, you done caught it. It's a very dangerous thing. It's not, oh, you've been taught the Bible. You know when they're teaching you something wrong. You sit under them long enough, you might catch something from them. Oh, in this story here, there's more to be caught than taught. I was thinking about a school, an elementary school in Chicago, Illinois. Sixth grade girls had just come into wearing lipstick, and the principal was having a hard time with them. They would go in the bathroom, put their lipstick on, and they would kiss the mirror, leave their lip impression. He had had assemblies. He had tried to teach them and teach them and teach them and teach them about how hard it was for the janitor to get that junk off. So one day he just called them all in the bathroom, and he had the janitor. He says, I've tried to teach y'all everything I know about how hard it is for this man. He says, I just thought maybe I'd let y'all see how hard it is. Well, he got the stool brush, ran it in the commode and got some water and scrubbed those lips off the mirror. Said they never had any more problems. I think they caught it. Sometimes you just have to catch some things. Can't be taught it. You got to catch it. There are some things to be caught from this story of him being in the midst. Number one, I want us to see that we catch a consistent standard in this story. I notice in verse number 42, there is a consistent of a custom. The Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom. The little word here is a habit, a conviction, a right, something that is done consistently without little or no wavering. Not being nosy this morning, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. I was wondering if you had some religious habits this morning that you're just not going to break. I was wondering this morning if you had a custom of spending time with the Lord every day. We could catch that from the boyhood Jesus this morning. Do you have a time every day when you get alone with God? Because if you don't, make yourself a note. He's not in the center of your life. He is not going to bare his arm when you need him. He'll not do it. I wonder this morning if you have a custom. I'm just speaking from my own example. I got up every morning with my three boys. And it wasn't a long, drawn-out process. Maybe 5, 8, maybe 10 minutes at the most. We read a little bit of Bible, and we prayed before they headed out for the morning. I just wanted them to know that he was the center of our day. Are you listening to me this morning? I know recently I had my 70th birthday, and one of them went on and on about those times at that table. He said, "Daddy, I remember rolling my eyes at you. Thought it was the stupidest thing that has ever been done." And he says, "Now, I realize it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me." I was reading an article recently by Lifeway. They've gone now totally to online. They did a survey recently of 2,000 of their customers wanting to know if they had a time at least 5 times a week where they got alone with the family and prayed and read the Bible. They found those that did it at least 5 times a week. This blowed my mind. 95% of their kids turned out good physically and spiritually. You know what I say to that? Wow. Do you have a custom? I was thinking not only of spending time with the Lord, a consistency of a custom. I was wondering this morning if this here was a custom. You're not going to miss this. Are you listening to me? Junior playing baseball ain't going to get you out of here. Junior might be pitching in hell one day if you keep missing this. You listen to this? I grew up in a house where my dad had one excuse that would keep us from going to church if we were dead. He did take that excuse. He even took us when we were sick. He didn't give a flip who caught it. Did nobody stay home with nobody? Yeah. You listening to me? I'm amazed that people got 4 or 5 youngins and both of the parents got to stay home because one of them sick. Well, that blows my mind. Yeah. You know how come? He ain't running the show. You are. He ain't gonna bear his arm when you need him. It was the consistency of a custom. I see in verse 41 there was the consistency of a cross. They went up there for the feast of the Passover. Passover speaks of death. Speaks of death to self. Oh, this family had died to self in many ways. He was born in a stable. He lived through Herod. He fled to Egypt. They moved back to Nazareth. One writer said they lived with a post-war mentality. What the devil is that? Little is better. They live with that. Oh, our philosophy is more is better. Little is better was his philosophy. Oh, is death to myself and yourself a custom? I find more and more at my age I'm having to tell myself, no! You can't think that. You can't do that. You cannot hang around that. No. There is the death to self. We catch that. You hang around Jesus. He's the center point. Everything's being preempted by him. I notice also in this text, not only do we catch a consistent standard, but we catch a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit. The Bible tells us in verse number 43 and 44 that they went a day's journey, didn't know he was there. Have you ever given a thought as to why they went a whole day before they even knew he was gone? I guarantee you, some of you got some youngins, they couldn't be gone more than a minute and you know they're gone. You start looking for them, they liable to blow up the other end of the house. Hello? Have you ever given any thought? He's gone for a whole day, 24 hours. And they didn't even know he's gone. I found a couple of reasons why I think he was probably gone and they didn't know it. Matthew tells us that he had a meek and lowly spirit. I don't know about you. I'd certainly be interested in catching that. Meek and lowly spirit. The word meek is a tenor of spirit that accepts the dealings of life, lets life flow, accepts without resistance the circumstances of life. It does not dispute the circumstances, but it has an agreeable spirit. He was not a drama king. Are you listening to me? He had a meek spirit. I want to get to the place where the circumstances of life don't get me out of my comfort zone. You hang around him. You rub up against him. You're liable to catch that meek spirit he had. Are you listening to me? Said he had a lowly spirit, humbleness of mind, humility, thinking less of oneself. He says he was as a lamb led to the slaughter. He ran his mouth all the way. No, it didn't even say that in the Living Bible. It says he opened not his mouth. He was swift to hear and slow to speak. Abraham Lincoln said it would be good to be quiet and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubts. I read this quote a few days ago by Elizabeth Elliot. It blowed my mind. Elizabeth Elliot said, never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. Wow. I could write a book about the times that I didn't pass up that opportunity. I told somebody what I thought and they didn't want to hear it. I gave them a piece of my mind and I ain't got that big a piece. When Jesus said something, you wanted to get your pen out and write it down. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of us would catch that spirit? Amen. Huh? Only way you'd catch it if he's in the midst of your life. Right. He's running the show. Oh, let us catch that spirit from this boy, Jesus, in the midst. He'd be in the midst of my life and that I would have a meek and lowly spirit. So desperate. Catch that from him. I notice not only did he have a meek and lowly spirit, but I notice in verse 44 that he had a mingling and quickening spirit. It had a mingling and quickening spirit. Bible says that they suppose, they figure, it's where they usually would find him, verse 44. But they supposing him to have been in the company. It's an interesting word. Little word company, a great multitude. He was not put out by a crowd. I tell you, preacher, I just get itchy when I'm around crowd. They just bother me. You hang around Jesus and that won't bother you. Are you listening to me? You know how come a crowd bothers you? Because you're a dead sinner in the midst
That's
of your life.
Right. Yes, sir.
He's not. He's not put out by a large crowd. The Bible says here that they would often find him in a day's journey. They sought him among their kin folks. They found him amongst his closest of kin. His cousins, even though they hated him, he felt at home around them. He didn't bother him.
Amen.
Are you listening to
Amen.
Me?
That's good.
I was thinking about, I used to have old missionary when I pastored there in Georgia, and he was a missionary at the University of Georgia, and I'd go over there visiting with him sometime, and he would go to the dorm room. He'd catch a girl in boys' rooms, all kind of stuff. We'd go in there. He sat there and talked to them for 45 minutes, just on and on. I mean, he would give them the gospel seven different ways. I come out of there, I said, did you not notice that they didn't want you there? He said, sure enough. He said, I never did notice that. How come? He's got that mingling, quickened spirit. He didn't give a flip if they didn't want him there. He knew he was there on a mission.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen. Yeah. Wow.
He says he was there with the acquaintances, those noble and worthy to be known. He's not put out by those. You imagine this morning what we could do with our kin folks? Can you imagine what we could do with the people out here? If we would have that mingling and quickening spirit this morning, we wouldn't bother with what people thought. We would share the gospel with them and not worry about it. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, to have that effect upon our family and kinfolk. I was thinking about old D.L. Moody again yesterday. Old D.L. Moody put one foot in the United States and he put one foot in England. They said he didn't have hundreds saved, didn't have thousands saved. They said that about Billy Graham, said he had thousands of people saved. They said Moody had millions saved. Millions saved. One English newspaper writer wrote this about Moody. Said that he was always shabbily dressed. Always had his shirt tail hanging out. They said he was grossly overweight, the fat boy. They said he slaughtered the King's English. Constantly said, ain't got his verbs all messed up. But the newspaper writer said, there was a mysterious awe about Moody that drew people to him. You and I know what it was, don't you? He had the Holy Ghost dripping off of him. He had been hanging around with Jesus. He had him dead center in his life. Everything was flowing out of there. Everything was flowing in there. Everything had been preempted by this one that dwelt in the centerpiece of his life. What can we catch by hanging around him? Oh, we can catch a consistent standard, contrite spirit. I notice from the text, we catch a communication of the scriptures. I notice in verse 46 and 47, he took it in, and he gave it out. The Bible says in verse 46 that they found him sitting in the midst. Do you remember the definition? This is a 12-year-old boy. Hey, it's off deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not. Some of you are way older than that. You've been saved maybe four or five times longer than Jesus is old. He's running the show. Everything's flowing out of him. Everything's flowing into him. He's taking it in. He's giving it out. He's with the doctors. They got the whole Old Testament memorized. They're hearing him. Watch the text. Says he's in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He has the ability to take it in. He has the ability to give it out. Oh, You'll never give it out unless you take it in. Some of you are standing on the King James Bible. Won't you get off from it so you can open it? The Bible says in our text in verse number 47, and all that heard him were this Pharisees and scribes now. Got the whole Old Testament. When he opened his mouth, they said they were astonished. We get our little English word from that word astonished, in awe, A-W-E. I've told you this before. Down in Georgia, we define that as mouth open while scratching head. He's talking now. These are old men. They've been studying the Old Testament all their life. When he taught, I was wondering, does anybody ever do that when you talk? Or do you get that eye roll? Talking again. Are you listening to me? You know how come you get that eye roll? Because he's not in the dead center of your life. You're astonished at what he is saying. Oh, to take in that spirit that he had. Not only did he take it in and give it out, but he grew inwardly and upwardly. I was interested in verse 52. This description of Jesus. This is big. If you're saved this morning, can you imagine in your foggiest imagination that you would have all of these qualities in a person dwelling inside of you? Listen to me now. He's already at 12 years old and he's beginning to do this. Now he's dwelling inside of me. He says, and he increased in wisdom. The little word in wisdom, insight into the nature of things, to know and understand the times and what they mean. Do you realize this morning that you have somebody dwelling inside of you that understands because he has planned all of the events of time? He knows what they're going to do in Washington before they did it. He planned the whole thing. I love that, don't you? Said he increased in stature, insight, time of life, to grow up, to come into maturity. You ever have your parents when you was a kid tell you, why don't you grow up? You know, Jesus has come to some of you this morning and telling you, hey, why don't you grow up? Quit sucking your spiritual thumb and go on with God. If he's in the center of your life, he's constantly whispering to me, don't let that bother you. Why don't you grow up? Are you listening to me this morning? Are you whining about that? I'm the one that said it. Grow up. Get over it. Listen to me. Said he grew inwardly and upwardly. Wisdom and stature. Said he grew in favor. To be endued with the presence of God that affects one's influence. To have so much of God upon you that it begins to affect the people that are around you. Are you affecting your grandchildren? Are you affecting your children just because God's dripping off from you? I'm telling you, he will never do that if he is not in dead center in your life. He has the place of authority. Everything's being preempted by him. It's in the bits. What can we catch? Oh, we can catch a consistent standard. Contrite spirit, communication of the scriptures. I was thinking about his ability to communicate the scriptures. Paul said in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. Writer of Hebrews talks about in chapter number 5 about being milk and meat people. I've shared that with you before. Milk and meat people. Milk, everything you got from God, you get it from somebody else. You get it from your little podcast. You read your little thing on Twitter. Somebody puts an article in there and you read it. All of that is milk. Only way you can get meat, you got to open the cow and cut yourself some off. Only way you can get cow meat. Are you listening to me? But here's what scares me. Hebrews chapter number 5, writer of Hebrews says, if you're solely on milk, all you get from somebody else. You never cut you some cow off yourself. He says in the last verse of that chapter, you cannot tell the difference between good and evil. Ruh-roh. You realize there's people sitting right here this morning, may have been saved for years, been sitting here for years, and you can't tell the difference in good and evil. You call good evil, call evil good. Catch a communication of scriptures from him, hanging around him. Last of all, what can I catch? Teaching authority of Christ. Christ in the midst of what I intake, what I take in. I notice we catch a compelling search from him. I notice in verse 44 the pursuit of the search. They supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him. They're looking for him. Wonder where he's at. Find him. Looking for him. Trying to find him. Pursuing after him. Panning after. I was wondering if that's your life quest this morning. You're looking for him, searching for him. Oh, you don't just do it 3 times a week. Oh, gracious, no. You just don't do it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Oh, God forbid. If that's the only times you do it, you can rest assured he ain't dead center of your life. Oh, no. You get up every day looking for him. I've told you this before, I'll tell you again. Beth and I, if the schedule's right, we don't have a lot of morning stuff to do. We get up every morning. We have about 45 minutes, hour together. We read several biographies, several devotional books. If it's on Monday, we usually listen to our pastor back home. We listen to his sermon. He's going through the book of James. And we launch search for him. We're looking for him. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Very seldom do we ever find him. It's just a mundane day. We just go through the rituals. We do our devotional time. We read. We pray. We listen to the sermon. Nothing happens. We don't feel a thing. But every now and then, we find him. And oh, how business does pick up when we find him. You say, how come he don't let you find him every day? Oh, no, you get an old hat, did. But every now and then you'll find him, and it'll make you want to get up tomorrow and look for him again. You say, preacher, how will I know when I find him? Oh, you'll know. You'll know. You'll know when you find him. I was thinking about an old boy. He's dead now. He's such a sweet fella. He went to Bible Missionary Baptist Church in Rockledge, North Carolina. Every year when I go there for a meeting, I guess I've been going there 20 years, he'd have me over on Monday night. He'd always fix hot dogs for me with chili and coleslaw, and he'd hand-cut French fries and fry them for me, and he would make a hand freezer of homemade ice cream. He did that every year on Monday night. He died about 2 years ago. But he had a son, lived in Mississippi. And his son was atheist. Been an atheist all his growing up days. He's still an atheist. And his wife of this boy and the grandson of my friend, they were in a car wreck. And both of them got killed. And it sent this boy haywire. He called his daddy up on the phone. He told his daddy, he said, Daddy, if I believed in God, he said, I'd search for him till I found him and then I'd kill him. I love what Ben told him on the phone. He said, son, why don't you launch a search? Tell you what, if you ever find him, you won't want to kill him. Oh, no. Son, if you ever find him, you want to get down low. I know old Minnie Hinn says he comes in the bathroom every morning while he's shaving. He's lying through his teeth. If he ever come in the bathroom, Benny would be trying to get behind the toilet. He'd be laying down somewhere. Are you listening to me? There's a pursuit of a search. How long should I search for him, preacher? This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this or not. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. How long should I look for him? Look for him till you find him. Huh?
Amen.
Talking about the pursuit of the search. But I see in verse 49, there's the place of the search. The Bible says in verse 49, 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. They found him now at the house of God. What better place to find him than here? I have often found him here. Huh? Place. They sought him till they found him. Verse 49, his mama, she said unto him, how is it that you sought me? She has confronted him in verse number 48. She says, how come you've worried your daddy and I? She said, behold thy father, little F, and I have sought thee sorry. She takes him into the temporal world. She takes him into that world out there. She said, you've upset your daddy, your little F and I, daddy. You've upset us. She takes him into the temporal world. He's 12 years old now. He brings her back to the eternal world. He brings her back to the real world. The world we're going to live in forever. He says in verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish not that I must be about my, that's big F. It's not little F. We're not talking about the temporal world. Let's get into the eternal world. See, that's why you're down. That's why you can't worship. It's because you're living constantly with you dead center in your life, and you're living in the temporal world. He brought her back to the eternal world. The real world. The world that is important. I was wondering this morning in closing, when is the last time, or has there ever been a time, that you launched a search for God? Could I ask you this question? When is the last known sighting of God you've had? Could you stand this morning and tell me about the last time you found him? Last sighting. I was thinking about his mom and dad. You still got your Bibles open if you hadn't closed up shop and gone to lunch yet. Just don't want to confuse you with the Bible. Luke chapter 2 and verse 50. And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. She's experienced the virgin birth. She's been living with him for 12 years. The little word understood not is our little phrase, clueless. She ain't got a clue as to who he is and what he has the ability to do. Matter of fact, it's not going to be but a short time. She's going to go down there to the house and tell them to send him out. His mom and his brother's out there. They think he's lost his mind. I'll take him home and take care of him. He's beside himself. And it's only at the marriage of Canaan where it finally dawns on her. That's God. Are you listening? Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't live around him for 12 years and have the virgin birth and not know who he was. She did. How come? Because he was not in the center of her life. She was in the center of her life. She's talking about little F father instead of big F father. It's all about me. When is the last time you launched a search? When is the last known sighting? I was thinking, when I was a kid, of course, some of you young people, you won't have a clue. You'll be clueless. We had 8-track. It was in little boxes. I even had one of my first cars had an 8-track deck in it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It was way bigger than this right here, square. Stick that in there. It'd have 8-10 songs on it. But then we went to records. And you know, we had those big records. They were 33 1/3. They had a little hole in the middle of them. And I don't know why. We're stupid teenagers, why we would do it. But we love to drill a hole off center and put the thing on the record player. It makes the horriblest sound you ever heard in your life. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's the way your life's doing towards God this morning when he's off center. Whoa, whoa. It ain't making no sense. And it's only when he is in the middle of everything you're taking in will he show himself. I'm asking you again this morning, is he in the midst of your intake this morning? We're standing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Pastor's coming. Lead us where we ought to go next.
Miss Kim, you come play if you will. Now for 3 weeks, we have been praying Isaiah 52:10. That the Lord would bear his holy arm. I preached that on a Sunday evening. I called Tom the next day and told him what we would be praying for the next 3 weeks. He already had these messages settled in his heart. The Holy Ghost knows how to set everything up. Isaiah 52:10. When he bears his holy arm, says all the nations shall see him and all the earth shall see him. To quote Tom, I don't know if you can get this or not. If all nations see him, if all the earth sees him, he has to be in the center. You think the Lord just hooked this up, this meeting up this way by chance? No. Is he your center? Is he your center? I'm going to pray. She's playing. You need to get it doing whatever you need to be doing. Father, I thank you for the word of God you have sent our way, oh God. Lord, not by chance, not by accident, oh God. Lord, on time, God. You have sent us a word from heaven, oh God. Oh Lord, if we see you, Lord, if you step in and exert your power, Lord, if you step in and drive back hell, oh God. Lord, you've got some conditions, God. And Lord, surely it begins with you being in the center. Lord, you need to be in the center of this meeting. It's not what we want. It's not what we think. It's not how we think it ought to go. Lord, it's what you want, oh God. Lord, you have right away. You have control, oh God. Lord, then and only then will you bear your arm. Then and only then will you lift what we can't lift. Lord, then and only then will you deal with things, God, that are beyond us. Oh, God, Lord, I thank you that you love us so. In your holy righteous name I pray. Amen and amen. It just struck me. He died on the center cross. He hung and died on the center cross in the middle. And because he hung and died on that center cross, he took our sins upon him. He bared his arm. He was exposed and humiliated so you don't have to be today. Oh my, I appreciate the preaching of the word of God. We'll tarry just a moment. Some are praying. or mine? Is he your sinner? Are you centered? You know, things can look like you're centered up till you get a level out. This eye's deceiving. When you get the level out, it'll show whether or not you're off center. Lives, individuals, and churches can get off center. And that's when he's nowhere to be found. In these days, I pray we would find him in the midst, bearing his arm. Father, I thank you again for what you've said already this morning. God, till we deal with this sinner issue, God, Lord, everything else Brother Tom may preach, but it'll not have its effect. Lord, we need you to roll up your sleeves and bear your arm. Lord, I'm looking out on families that have situations. They need you, God. They need you to exert your power. God, they can't handle it. They can't lift it. Oh, Lord, they can't deal with it, God. Lord, may they get their eyes off of what needs lifting, and may they get their eyes on you. Make sure you're centered, the center of all that's in their being, in their life. God, I thank you for the word of God that you've sent. I pray, God, we'd muse on it, dwell on it, fall right back in here this night, God, looking for you to speak to our hearts again, looking for you to be in the midst and to bear your holy righteous arm. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Go a-praying, come back a-praying. If he's in the center, you're at liberty.